Our scripture reading this morning is taken first from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, a well-known high priestly prayer of the Lord, and we turn to one of his letters, the first one, chapter 5, verse 18 through to 21, of which verse 19 is especially the text. So let us first turn to the Gospel according to John, that moving prayer that our exalted Lord, before his deep suffering, prayed as our high priest. Let us listen to the words of our Lord. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now we turn to the first letter of John. For this part, we will read the conclusion section of 1 John 5. We start with verse 18. 1 John 5, verse 18, where John writes, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. As far as the reading of God's word and listening to its application, let us sing now from Psalm 86, stanza 1. Beloved, I may administer to you God's word from 1 John 5, verse 19. The text, I'd like to read a text again for you, where we read, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway, lies under the rule of the wicked one, the evil one." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the world around us does not produce a healthy and lasting life. Here in this world, no one can find a spring of living water that will sustain him forever. In fact, in the world around us, one drinks the water which makes him long to drink again and again and again, and yet it kills him. You know, that's like drinking salt water. And I think that even The children, the little ones here this morning know what happens when you drink salt water. Isn't it true? You become even thirstier. You need more and more and more. And so it is with the people who live around us. They're drinking salt water. The more they have, the more they want. The more they want, the less they are satisfied. And that's always the devil's way, making people blind for finding true peace, satisfaction, nourishment. Being after satisfying their own needs, immediately buying the trendy and fashionable stuff, you know. Everyone today, everyone needs a cell phone. Everyone needs to have cable television. In the past, it was called keeping up with the Joneses. Our modern day compulsion, consumerism, alcohol, sex, drugs, gambling, lotteries, they're all ways to enjoy a world of personal fulfillment, satisfaction, pleasure. But it is all drinking salt water. Such a life doesn't sustain because of the poison of the devil. Beloved, we don't only see such a wasting life and people's individual lives. We also observe such a worldly life on the national and the global level. Just listen to the platforms of the major political parties today. Their ideology is to make the earth a better place. Because of that, they promise people all beautiful things. And they even say man has a right to live a pleasant life. However, the power of sin is ignored. What is worse, the righteousness of God is ignored. What does God say about the world we live in? In other words, what is our platform? What do we know? And what are our principles, or what are our convictions from which we operate? For here in church, we don't drink salt water. We don't drink from a source of poison. Our source sustains life. It is living water. Let us this morning enjoy nourishment of this living water. The message this morning is as follows. Christians are in the world, but not of the world. From our text we see then the Christian platform, the Christian position, and the Christian opposition. So Christians are in the world, but not of the world. First then, platform, Christian platform that from which we operate in this world. Congregation, did you notice John's firm conviction? He says, we know. In that conclusion of his letter, we know, three times. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. We know that we are children of God. And we know also that the Son of God has come. His end admonition of his letter is, we should keep ourselves from idols. That is, we should stay away from the devil's sway. Don't drink his poisonous water. So, what does actually John tell us? from which platform must we operate? I immediately say it's simply the gospel, congregation. That's our basis for life. Today, tomorrow, always. The gospel. And of course, it isn't a gospel as a formal set of rules, guidelines, and principles. Here in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, here we don't hold just to mere teachings or doctrines, a law. Take note. John says what we know. What do we know? We know that we are children of God. In the previous verses, he even says that we are born of God. So our convictions and beliefs are not from man, are not born from man. They are not from below. Our convictions come from above, from God. Our knowledge is immediately connected with God Most High and who He is. Remember the question the disciples asked the Lord in Matthew 16. He asked them, "Who do you say that I am? What is your conviction about me?" Now then the apostles don't say, Peter is answering, but he is doing it on behalf of the apostles. They don't say, "Well, we think, we are of the opinion." No, the answer is, "We believe. We know for sure." And then the revealing comment of the Lord Jesus Christ was, "You know this, not from yourselves, but from my Father in heaven." So this is the true basis from which Christians operate. Faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowledge of faith. Everything that we do is therefore from faith. Very positive way of living a Christian life. Everything we do is through faith. James says it in a negative way. The Apostle James in his letter, he uses a very loaded expression. James says, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." You read it in James 4, verse 17. So once again, beloved, what is our basic faith knowledge? Well, we know who God is. He's a sovereign God, the maker of heaven and earth. We also know His platform, His eternal plan, His purpose with all things. But He will firmly, eternally establish Christ's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. So we know who God is, but we also know who man is. We also know who we ourselves are. Although we were created good and in the image of God, we disobeyed and we rebelled against God. We let the devil have his sway. So we went on the devil's way. We won't have any future. We won't have any satisfaction unless God would turn to us in His favor. And so He did. The Son of God has come. He has given us understanding so that we now know God's platform, which is our platform. God has now given us understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding of how to serve God in true faith. And understanding that we are not of the world. We are of God. Very important phrase, a message this morning to keep in mind. We are not of this world. We are of God. We are children of God. And children of God live from the bread from heaven. Children of God, live from the spring of living waters. Children of God, are not blind. Christ has opened their eyes. And then what do we see? What do we live for? What attitude do we have? Beloved, then we don't live and act in a pragmatic attitude. We don't live with mere human realism. Our eyes are enlightened, remember, are open. So we live with biblical realism. What is that? What is biblical realism? The biblical realism is that we know that the world around us lies under God's curse. The world around us lies under God's curse. We see it, and we feel it, we suffer from it, for we live in this world. And we experience that this world is a dying world. The world in itself is not a blessed world, no, a cursed world, a dying world. And what do we read in the platform of God's Word? What do we know as His children? It is this. It's shocking in a way. We know this world won't get any better. On the contrary, this world will get worse and worse. Think of what we know about the last days. That people live for self. And that people don't know what true love is. It's a cold world. A sterile and unnatural world. And beloved, we now live in the last days. We feel it. We know it. And so what do we then live for? We don't live to make this world a better world. We live for the church. We live for the Lord Jesus. For our Prince and King in obedience. And we know that He will punish wrongdoers. And that's precisely what we have to tell the world. That we also have to tell the authorities. Yes. Tell them that Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. He will judge who has promoted their own human and humanistic platforms. We also know and we are assured that by God's mercies, all things will work for our good. That nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And therefore our knowledge makes us turn to Him. Yes, the Lord Himself, He turns to us that we may turn to Him. And we ask Him to provide for all our needs. And so we don't venture out for ourselves. We are not after making our lives on earth as comfortable as possible. That is not in our mind, first and foremost, isn't it, beloved? We have other needs. We ask the Lord for His nearness, that He be with us always. And we ask the Lord for nourishing us. Give us this day our daily bread. And we ask, and we did it also already this morning in our prayer, we ask the Lord for the coming of His kingdom, that we may live peaceful and quiet. That we may live in all godliness and holiness that we are called to do at the beginning of our worship service this morning from 1 Timothy 2. This means we live as citizens of God's kingdom. And beloved, we will be satisfied. The Lord assures us in His gospel. He assures us also in the psalm that we sang, Psalm 67. What God ordains, He sustains. Isn't that a very comforting message for all of us, young and old? What God ordains, He sustains. Well, He has ordained us to be His children. And so we are at rest, well fed, satisfied. And through that strength then, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. For we know God. We also know that this world lies in sin. Our Christian platform then, including the first point, our Christian platform is showing the world that the bond of sin needs to be cut. When that bond of sin is cut, we will have a future. The point in the sermon is a little bit in political terms. So in political terms, I could also say here in church, we are not after materialism, is it? So here in church, we are not after tax cuts, but after sin cuts. Beloved, our glorious position is that we are children of God. We already touched upon this truth in the foregoing. And in our second point, we like to give now some more attention to our position as Christians. As Christians, are Christians just people who live a different form and order of life? Sure, yes. Christians live a different life. They go to church. They financially support the church and the Lord's work. They try to do good to others. They strive to do that. They have Bible knowledge. They know the confessions of the church. They give their children Christian education. But congregation, there is a lot more to be a Christian. Infinitely more. I would even say intimately more, much more. Christians are unique. They are totally different from non-Christians. But then, what is their uniqueness? Well, John says in this passage we read, we are children of God. See, we are not of ourselves. We are not of this world. We are of God. We are even born of God. And so we have a close and intimate bond with the holy and sovereign God in heaven. We have, beloved, God even living in us. And so our position is not just we will be a new creation, our position is we are a new creation. That's a central truth of Scripture for God's people. Noah was called into the ark. God did so because he was completely different from the people around him. Abraham was called from Paddan Aram. God separated him from paganism. God made Abraham totally different from all other nations. God led Israel, his Old Testament people, out of Egypt. You see, God separated them from those who lived in idolatry. All that is still the same for us Christians today. God calls us away from being involved in the sins of the world. Now here, congregation, we touch the different concept of being in the world and not of the world. As we have seen this morning, the Lord Jesus raises that matter too. He's doing so by his praying to his Father in heaven, John 17. He mentioned that our position is in the world, but not of the world. Actually, that expression is so very well known to us. We know it. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. But then you ask at home visits, at catechism class, or in just a conversation, you ask, what does that now really mean? Being in the world, not of the world. Ask what that really means. And you get a stare. Congregation, if we are God's children, as we confess to be, then we are all together, and I emphasize, we are all together different from those who are not His children. If you discuss this matter, being in the world and of the world, never forget that. We are of God. We, so to speak, are related to God. We have an intimate bond with Him. And you can read that whole letter, 1 John, that is really the theme of John in this letter. That we are receivers of God's very life and nature. That's hard to understand. We immediately have to admit. But we also read it in John 17. God Himself said so. There our Lord pleads with His Father to keep us close to Him. He is one with His Father. And so therefore we also are one with God the Father. We have a new life. And our Lord actually teaches this truth in many parables. The apostle emphasizes our uniqueness, being different in passages also, like Romans 8, for example. This is and should be the very message of every sermon, every discussion, and all that we do. We stand out by having a new life. The preaching lets us know more and more that we are one with God, that we have that position, that Christ lives in me, and I in Christ, Galatians 2, verse 20. So that we live in a divine communion. At the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the same is confessed but by that image symbolism of marriage, that we are bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. So close we are to God. That we are taken out of the kingdom of darkness. And God has placed us in the kingdom of light. And so we are not under the dominion of Satan. We have no other king but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that truth is life-giving, life-protecting, life-preserving. That is so true, even if Christians will lose their lives because of their position, because of their confession. But if you know God, then you also know His story, His history in the Bible and in His church history. Beloved, the truth about us, about you and me, is we are very, very close to God. And that means, therefore, that we are not very close to the world, to those who live, is around us. We already emphasized that. That world is portrayed in many of today's movies. That world is lived in pubs and bars. That world is the world of idols. Sure, we are living in the midst of it. Yet we should not seek that life without God. For what are the last words of 1 John 5? Indeed, children of God, must keep themselves free from idols. That is, staying away from an empty life, a life which does not give true satisfaction. Christians live through the strength of God's grace, what we prayed for also this morning. And therefore, don't live to be satisfied by alcohol. Once again, I say, we are not after tax cuts so that we get more and more money. We are after cutting sin so that we become more and more holy. We say, we confess, and therefore we believe we have a totally new life. We are free from sin. We are free from the power of the devil, Lord's Day 1. We live as children of God. We are not of the world. We are of God. Live that life, beloved young people. Cut the bond with the sins of the world. All that evil that seeps into our lives through unholy television programs, movies, internet sites. Stop the evil flow of the world in your life. Then tap into the abundant flow from Scripture of living water. Be sustained and satisfied as children of God. Now that means, as you will understand, that we live in opposition. We have come to our last point. Opposition to the evil world. Congregation, we have seen that we have to stop the wickedness in our own lives. That is God's call. Can we stop the wickedness in the world around us? You know that there are a lot of Christian people and activism around us. The Christian says, we have to do this, we have to do that. We can hear fellow Christians say, if we are not alert, then all our freedoms will be taken away. Have you heard that sentence? Maybe you have used it yourself. If we are not alert, then all our freedoms will be taken away. And they will be taken away. Beloved, we certainly must testify of God's holy will. We must call people to the testimony of His law. We must call people to acknowledge God's sovereign authority. That's true. We have the communion and we have the task, we have the commission to witness of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And so we must speak, especially about forgiveness of sins. We must speak about eternal life. We must speak about a new life. And yet take note what John also says. He makes a baffling statement in our text. We know that the whole world is under the devil's sway. We know that the whole world lies under the control of the evil one. We live in a world under the devil. A world under the evil and wickedness of idols. Now is the message of John, does John now say, Christians, stop the works of the devil? Christians, stop the wickedness? And did the Lord Jesus pray that His people would make an end to this evil world? You see, that is not the prayer of the Lord Jesus. I think sometimes we perceive it, and so we have a perception that we have to do much more in this evil world. We have to turn it around. Do you read that in the Bible? In the Lord's Prayer? He didn't pray for it. That is not even in our power. God the Lord will turn the world around. God will do that Himself. Once more He will shake all things. And He will purify the earth from all sin. You read that in the book of Haggai, as also referred to in Hebrews 12. God will make that great turnaround. For us it is important to know in what world we live. A wicked world. And it won't get better. Again, I refer to what Peter writes in his letters. Also, read the book of Revelation. And in 2 Timothy 3 verse 13, we read that we live in a world where evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse. Beloved, the evil days of Noah, the Lord Jesus says, will come back in all its evil pride. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah will come back with his homosexual agenda. And you know, it's already upon us. Again, is it in our power to stop it? No. The dark days of Egypt will come back. Harsh slavery. That there will be no place for God's people. It's coming closer and closer. That's what I read. That's what we read in God's Word. And so, congregation, we should not be surprised about the state of the world. We know what we find in the world. Evil and wickedness. This world is subjected to that under the sway of the evil because of man's fall into sin. Romans 1. And once again, I ask, can we improve this situation? Can a political party, even a Christian party, change this situation? No, not one bit. This is not depressing for us. And we should not be frustrated by it either or confused. The Bible gives realism. God's Word gives us that we think clearly. The text makes us say, we know that the world lies under the rule of the evil one. That is the world around us. And through that rule, the devil's rule, this world is such a bad and scandalous place. A place in which we ourselves, we don't really comfortable. Here in church, we are comfortable and joyful. But not really in the world, is it? And if we, then we better open up the Bible. Now, an important question, should we then withdraw from the world? You know, some Christians, they do so, and they live in colonies, and they withdraw, or they, as congregations, are very introvert, and they just have their spiritual life in the church. Should we withdraw from the world? You know, that's not the message of the gospel. That's not the thing the Lord Jesus prayed for, and that he sent his disciples away. Once more, we cannot stop the evil. We cannot withdraw from the world either. So what then should we do? Brothers and sisters, we have seen that we are different. We are unique because of our new life. And so we have to live that new life. And that means that indeed we live in opposition to the world. So what is our resolve? Our duty in this world is first and foremost to make absolutely sure of ourselves that the world doesn't come into our life. Families, parents, teachers, young people. Live in opposition to the world. Then our task is that we have to make absolutely sure of ourselves that the world doesn't come into our life. That is, children of the Lord, don't drink the salt water of the world. Always turn to the living water of the gospel. Live the gospel at home, at work, at school, in all your tasks and responsibilities. also in the society around us. Show I am born of God, a child of Him. And so indeed, we certainly have a civil and political task. But then we are not pragmatic, being after the things that can or will be realized. Then we are not idealistic, being after the things man cannot do. And don't be activistic either, trying to help, to try to give God a hand, to help God. Show biblical realism in the light of God's word, that is, in true faith, know that you are children of God. And children, they're humble. Children are dependent. Children don't have yet a lot of strength. Know that you are children of God. And know that the whole world around us lies under the devil's sway. But God's kingdom is more powerful. God is the sovereign God of all. That is our secret. That is our strength. Praise be to Him. His kingdom, indeed, as we have sung already, His kingdom's girth circles all the earth. And He will change everything. Turn with me to 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3, which we will read in conclusion. 1 John 3. Verse 1 through 3. One John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And therefore, the world doesn't know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Amen.